You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. We are still on our victory high as the Stars take a 3-1 lead over Winnipeg. And of course, we have another Spits and Suds episode for you as we get ready for game number 5, which happens Thursday night in Winnipeg. And of course, we'll be with you after the game. And joining us to talk about last night's game and talk about this series overall, he's doing so well for himself. He's an absolute beast. It's a Spits and Suds favorite. His Substack is called Star Stack, which I would highly recommend. Terrific on the analytics. You can also catch him and Robert Tiffin with D Magazine. They're writing recaps after every game. It's the greatness of David Castillo. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing better now that I'm talking to you because it's been way too long. I missed you, brother. I missed you so much.
Oh, man. I was watching the game last night, and I was like, I want to ask David about this. So,
well, it's also just kind of, my goodness, like, when was the last time Dallas, and again, not to, you know, jinx them or anything like that, because, you know, they got to, you know, play Winnipeg at home. It's going to be a tough game. But, I mean, when was the last time, you know, we enjoyed a Dallas playoff series that didn't go to at least 6 games. I think Vegas, right? Vegas,
yes.
Vegas during the cup run?
Yes. During COVID, right?
Yeah. I don't know why I said during the cup run. I mean, they've had.
Yeah, you're right.
It was a 4-1. Yeah. So I'm just trying to enjoy what I'm trying to hope for and do a rain dance for a, you know, series closeout and not have to just, like, you know, just deal with the anxiety and stress of potentially being forced to game 6, maybe a game 7. That'll be tough for Winnipeg given Hellebuck's, you know, road woes, but whatever, you know, so it's all good.
It was so interesting because I'm watching the game and I'm like, you know, sometimes, like, you want to be strong in your convictions, but at the same time, you start to question, like, am I the only one that feels as though Dallas is getting outplayed for the most part through 2 periods, and they took advantage of their opportunities? I thought they were terrific in the third. They came out, they were aggressive, they didn't go into a shell. I thought Dallas in the third, I don't know if something was said in the room, but they were a different team in the third. But then I watched the Winnipeg post game, and while they were down, they certainly were like, We thought we did everything we should do. We took a lot of shots. We thought we overall played well, and they got Ottinger'd, so to speak.
Well, I think that's that's a great point. I think it's also something that I'm glad you bring up, you know, with the Winnipeg side, because I think it's something that Dallas, for one, like, that was the first time that Winnipeg actually won the share of shot quality and even strength, right? They had the first time they had the edge in expected goals. And so So yes, like Winnipeg definitely played a better game, but it wasn't representative. It wasn't a reflection of who they've been throughout the series, which kind of took me by surprise because I really, given how Dallas was kind of punished in terms of possession against Colorado, thought, well, perhaps, Winnipeg is going to be a step up because, they have a little bit, better depth, better like team game. And that just hasn't happened. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But I think the biggest one, and we can either save it for later or just kind of talk about it, briefly, which is special teams. I mean,
Yes.
Dallas, they outscored Colorado 6-3 on the power play. And now they're outscoring Winnipeg 4-1. So, I mean, it's when the margins for error in the playoffs are so thin and, every little edge makes a difference and you have a significant edge on special teams, which is 20% of any given game, that's just a recipe. I mean, it means that Dallas doesn't have to play perfect or even a good game at even strength if they can score on the power play and shut down the other team's power play.
Well, yeah,
So
let's build on that because I wanted to talk both when the Stars are shorthanded and when they're on the power play. Do you look at this power play success as Mikko Rantanen becoming a part of that power play? What are you seeing? I am personally seeing teams having to account for Rantanen on the ice. Therefore, that bumper, that middle seems a lot more open than it once was. And I also see a concerted effort for Dallas to get to the net as much as possible and try to work that middle rather than shoot from the outside.
no, I think that's a great observation. That's exactly what's happening, right? I mean, like you've seen a lot of shots, from Dallas in the slot, precisely because, teams are kind of overcommitting trying to cover Rantanen on the flank. And of course they have to, right? You have to respect Rantanen's shot, but of course, he's such an adept playmaker that, well, he can burn you in multiple ways. And so the power play is just kind of, it hasn't always been perfect. I think there are some times where I feel like the shifts in general like aren't that notable. Even the first goal, right, by Mikael Granlund, right? That's not a shot that Hellebuyck should let in, right? So I don't necessarily credit the power play, but of course, you credit the individual performances. So I think Dallas has really got this kind of nice mixture of Steve Spott, Pete DeBoer kind of making adjustments on the power play. The addition of Rantanen is obviously massive, but also just kind of players doing a really great job in terms of like systems and tactics. We saw that in Game 7 against Colorado, where the normal 1-3-1 formation gives way to excuse me gives way to two up top. Duchesne up there with the point man drifts into the middle. That totally screws up Colorado's coverage, and that allows Duchesne to get to the goal line for a cross ice pass to Wyatt Johnston, which ended up being the game winner. So I think there are just a lot of moving parts that are just, paying huge dividends for Dallas.
I'm really happy for Granlund. I just think he does so many little things so well, and he's just kind of a guy that it's great to have on the team. He can kill penalties, but he can
So
obviously,
wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Did you okay? So like, I'm probably calling myself out here, but did you like that trade at the time?
yes.
Portion of assets given up. Okay,
No,
all right. So,
I mean, I had mixed emotions about it. I felt as though, and I think it's a great conversation, David. I'm not a fan of giving up a first round pick and a conditional third, which could be a fourth. We hope it's a third because that means the Stars went to the Stanley Cup. That's a lot, but I felt as though with the Sagan and Haskinen injury, those pieces were needed.
see, and that's so we're both crow eaters, right? I mean, we're excuse me, we're both eating crow, which I was right there with you. In fact, I wouldn't even say that. I was actually like kind of actively like, oh God, what? Granted, like this is not a needle move. I guess because it felt like a panic move, right? It felt like, oh, Sagan is injured, and I feel like there was a reason for that, right? So Sagan's injury, in addition to Dallas was kind of struggling to score. However, I always felt like, well, it was really just the power play that was struggling to score. So I didn't feel like Granlund was necessarily a need. Still, certainly didn't like CeCe being attached. But man, like, Granlund, It was hard to envision Granlund in the position he's in now,
Sure.
where being on that top line with Hintz and Rantanen has been just such a boon to like his game in terms of, being tasked with kind of being a responsible two-way player that, plays on both sides of special teams. And also I think kind of replicating what Rantanen had in Colorado, where sure, like McKinnon, Hintz and Granlund are not McKinnon, but in the aggregate, two guys that are fast countrymen and can shoot as well as pass, I think has done a really good job of kind of, recreating something similar. And that's been huge, not just for Granlund, but for the other two players as well.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating because you don't realize it, but Granlund had 66 points this year in the regular season. 45
Yeah, he.
with 45 with San Jose, 21 with the Stars.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though, right? He had a lot of points playing like, a sort of prime position and
Sure.
prime minutes. And so it was hard for me to see at the time how that would mesh with Dallas and, who could only give him, right, Sagan's spot and then for a time, next to Johnson and Benn. And so, yeah, man, I've been really happy to kind of just be wrong on that
Sure.
because we're just seeing like how good he is when he is, when he's given room to kind of be that player that doesn't, isn't tasked with, being the scorer on a line or the passer on a line, but somebody that just, helps fuel the other two, right? The kind of perfect
Right.
complementary piece. And so
Now
it's been fun.
we didn't know CeCe, but I will say, because if you don't talk about it, then no one will know that you are mentioning, but our Spits and Suds listeners do realize that prior to that, when trade talks would come up, we did mention Granlund a lot based on a few factors: the year he was having, the expiring contract, the fact that Jim Nill was pretty vocal as far as, "I don't want to sign anyone who has years remaining due to the cap constraints that we have." That's prior to the whole Rantanen thing happening. So because of that, when you looked at the free agents, Granlund certainly was a name that you had to mention. But you also mentioned Cody Ceci, and his name hasn't been mentioned much. Third on time on ice for defenseman last night. The fact that we're not mentioning them, I'm guessing that's a good thing, right, David?
I wouldn't I know that listen like I don't I think one of the things and this is true I think for people in general and true of me as well which is that for those of us that kind of traffic in sort of the macro level patterns and the quote-unquote fancy stats and the analytics it's easy to sort of confuse value added for value indefinitely, right? So CeCe is never rated as a strong shift to shift defenseman. And to me, he really isn't either. I mean, like Dallas is still getting massively outshot in Lindell and CeCe's minutes. So I think at a certain point you kind of wonder, well, is that sustainable if we're say looking forward to an Edmonton series? And like I said, I'm not, again, this is not to this is not to kind of die on the hill that, oh, well, CeCe's terrible. No, just, but I do think that it's possible for players that while they may not rate out as quality defensemen or quality players from shift to shift, can still give you good games. And so I think that's kind of part of what we're seeing with Cody CeCe, which is that he is, I would still, to me, he's not a top four defenseman or he's not a defenseman that adds value in the top four. However, he has managed to kind of give Dallas, good shifts here and there. And I still like I still wonder, even though CeCe's never going to get bumped down to the fourth line, I do wonder what a if Heiskanen is fully become
Right.
gets 100%, right? And they go with six defensemen. Is there a discussion of, hey, maybe Lindell with Heiskanen, Harley with Lyubushkin? Perhaps and CeCe on the third pair. Is there a discussion where because and it's not because you're bumping CeCe down, but perhaps in an effort to give Bixel, I think who has played fantastic,
Yes.
more minutes. Maybe this is kind of just something you do with your defense pairs where it's just kind of evenly divided, right? There's not a single pair that you have to worry about having to shelter. And so I think that's perhaps we're getting ahead of ourselves, another discussion, but oh man, you forced me to talk about Cody CeCe and my brain breaks. I'm
Love it.
sorry.
I absolutely love making your brain break because that brain is awesome. I was wondering if they were going to take Labushkin and move him down, but I do appreciate the 11-7 and kudos to Sean Shapiro. He was chirping about it early, and I'm interested to see what they'll go with next game. You know, because I think
I mean,
Winnipeg's going to come out real physical. I think they're going to really try to take it to the Stars' defense.
yeah, no, that's something that I would expect to. I would expect the 11-7 to remain the same because I mean, you saw what they did right this game, right? Which is, well, their quote unquote fourth line was basically just floaters with Robertson and Johnston, getting double shifted with Rantanen, right? So I mean, there's kind of no reason at this point for Dallas to really kind of change things up because they've been so broadly successful. But so I would expect the same thing. I wouldn't expect Dallas to go down to six defensemen, probably until the next series. I mean, if as long as Heiskanen is not 100%, and I don't think he looked 100% either. I mean, he's clearly a guy. Like, if this had been the regular season, like he's not playing.
And he looked gassed at times, which is totally understandable. You can't replicate playoff hockey, specifically being out that long. You just can't. No matter how many times you want to go back and forth, playoff hockey's a little bit different. So, I fully expect him to get better, just like I think Robertson's playing better and better. And I did like how Robertson was kind of getting close to Hellebuck last night. I think that's a great sign when, you know, he's doing that. So it's going to be pretty fascinating. So when I tweeted out about the Benn penalty last night, caught some flack from Stars fans saying, well, he's sticking up for his teammates. I just don't think at that point in the game, it's worth taking that penalty for it. Even though Winnipeg has been shut down, they did during the regular season have one of the top power play units in the National Hockey League. So I just thought it was a bad penalty at that time to come in after the whistle. And, you know, I think it was they pushed Scheifele down.
Well, I mean, in this case, sorry, fans, but the fans are just wrong. Like, you're right here. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on your podcast. Like, I mean, I think it would be one thing. For one, like, I think Winnipeg screwed up by, excuse me, I think Winnipeg screwed up by not pulling the goalie right in that situation. I think if they had, there's probably a good chance that, Winnipeg, possibly breaks through. But I mean, more to the point, like, it would be one thing if that was Ben's kind of like only bad penalty. No, he's been taking a lot of bad penalties, right? So this is just kind of on par with his on ice behavior. And listen, I don't want to like sit here and kind of like, slag on like Ben or anything like that, because I think for the player that he is at this point in his career, like an aging power forward, I think what he's doing or what he's been doing is pretty admirable and pretty impressive, right? I mean, this is a guy that,
Absolutely.
2 years ago, right, the Athletic had an article about, how regression was due for Ben, and he was gonna go back to being a 30, 40 point player, and that didn't happen. Granted, a lot of this is the Wyatt Johnson effect, but I do think that Ben is just, he's kind of, I think in an effort to kind of make himself kind of be present and have his presence felt, he's just trying to do too much. And that often means bad passes. It means quote unquote, being engaged slash physical, which usually for him means crossing the line. And you just can't have that. I mean, even if no matter how good Dallas's penalty kill is playing, well, what if like, that leads to a penalty, crucial penalty killer blocking a shot, injures them. Because why? Because Ben, like lost his cool because he couldn't control his emotions. I mean, to me, like Ben just really needs to go back to just playing a simple north-south game, without the fancy, button hook passes, and just, this team is like leading is quietly, dominating. And so that's all they need from Ben, just like quiet dominance. You don't have to prove that you're a savage all the time, so
I just
yeah,
think great that they're killing penalties like they are. Kudos to the penalty killing units. But David, I think you and I agree. The let's say they do play Edmonton in the next round if they advance, even Winnipeg now. You just can't give them those power play momentum minutes.
Well, I mean, exactly. It's that, and also it's also just about habits, right? I mean, if you are taking these like ill-timed penalties, whether early in the game or late in the game, why should that change going into next series,
right?
Unless you know, kind of change your behavior. So yeah, it's obviously we you know, don't need to get ahead of ourselves. You know, Dallas is still in this, you know, locked in this series with Winnipeg, but you know, there's just no reason to play with fire, and there's no reason to tax a penalty kill that has been fantastic. Like, this is actually something I'm going to be writing about this week, doing some kind of film room analysis about how Dallas's penalty kill, you know, first they shut down Colorado and now they're shutting down Winnipeg. And that's just a really interesting story on its own that I think not enough is said in relation to the job like Alain Nasruddin and the penalty killers are doing.
Yeah. 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 I agree. And that's without Blackwell in the lineup as well.
Well, like, how serious are you? Because, I mean, it's.
Well, those that listen to the podcast know I'm a Blackwell and Granlund kind of guy. So take that.
Hey, Blackwell has, you know, he's been fantastic, dude.
I like his aggression on the penalty kill.
No, absolutely. Like, and that's one of the things that that I'll actually be highlighting, which is like players like Blackwell and Steele,
yeah,
have been so good in forcing shots, you know, forcing like essentially the, you know, power play or the opposing power play, to really kind of scramble along the walls, right? So it's disrupting, you know, teams getting into formation, and it's just been really great grunt work. One of the reasons why I was with you, I feel like Blackwell never should have been scratched. I think they have kind of the ideal forward lineup. Although I will say I do miss Maverick Bork.
I know. Boy, he's long forgotten, isn't he? But I mean,
he won't be next year.
No. And you know, that's so interesting.
Not with the cap situation.
Man, and it sounds wrong because I want to see them hoisting the cup, but I am so ready to talk. Like, for instance, how can you not have Petrovic in your top seven next year?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, why didn't they do that last year?
I know,
year,
that's right? What, like, I don't understand. I have sat down and I have thought sports-wise of another comparison. I even went beyond the scope of hockey, of a player that has spent 2 years in the minors, but when the stage is biggest, he comes up and performs well. Granted, he is protected, just like they protected Lundqvist, just like they protected Hanley. His minutes are basically the same as Bischel. However, I just find it a fascinating story, and I'm like, okay, why can't this guy, even if he's a healthy scratch, be part of this team during the season?
Well, and the crazy thing is, it's not the first time.
I know. It's amazing. It really is. I mean, there have been so many things to talk about in this series, but to me, the story of Alexander Petrovic is tremendous as far as what he's been able to do and the seamless transition from the AHL to the NHL, and as if he was been on the team all year.
Well, I think it's a great example of what happens when teams are so afraid of losing minutes, right? You know, like, I'm trying to think of like a good example for Dallas, but I mean, you can just look at Winnipeg as a great example, right? They were so afraid of losing veteran minutes on the third pair that they gave up a second and fourth round pick for Luke Shen,
yeah,
who was a healthy scratch last game.
Yep.
You don't need these players, like, especially, you know, this is what informs the whole concept behind replacement level in analytics, which is that, you know, just because you lose a veteran player does not mean someone cannot step in their place and give you those minutes, right? Because it's not about the minutes, it's about the value added within those minutes. So that was the issue, right? Which is that, well, you know, Petrovic could give you the same value added as Brennan Smith or Matt Dumba, you know, to a lesser extent, we can even say Lyubushkin, even though I do think Lyubushkin is like pretty solid. But I mean, if Lundqvist was healthy, right? I mean, you know, is anybody really having an issue with Lubushkin being scratched, with kind of, Heiskanen, CeCe, and maybe Lundqvist, being the top three, or perhaps Petrovic in place of Lundqvist.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. That's really like the job that, ideally your pro scout should be able to identify, which is, well, do we really need an expensive, overcosted player for this depth position, or does the depth we have in the AHL, can they be that replacement level defender in that spot where you're not having to spend anything and you get the exact same value?
Yeah. I'm interested in from the Winnipeg side of Logan Stanley, a big defenseman, 63 games during the regular season, playoff start. All of a sudden it's like, we're good. It's like,
No,
whoa.
please tell me you are not a Logan Stanley truther.
I mean, I gave you Kessel ring, right?
Okay, all right. Listen, the Kessel ring, I will concede. But listen, I like Kessel ring as well. Like, in fact, I still hope Dallas can find a way to. I mean, he's cheap. Give up, more picks to get him. I'm all for it. But
I personally feel as though big defensemen give Dallas issues.
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence, it's a commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What? Amen, wrong.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like a good counterexample, but I mean, Logan Stanley is not it. I mean, there's probably a good chance that you're going to see him and he's going to like lay a big hit and everything like that, but you ask any Jets fan how they feel about Logan Stanley. And so that's the thing about Logan Stanley, right? Which is that players like Stanley, other like teams tend to think Logan Stanley is Leon Bixell. And that's not the case, mm-hmm. right? The reason why Leon Bixell is so effective is not just because he's physical and, he starts crap, get the scrum counter always goes up when he's on the ice. But because he's talented, because he can move the puck, he has good agility for his size. Logan Stanley doesn't have any of that. Logan Stanley is an awful puck handler, and awful edge work. And Jets fans will go to their grave arguing that he should never, ever be on the Jets roster. So if we see him and he has a good game, listen, I'll be on the podcast and you could tell me I told you so. But if we see him, And Dallas scores three goals with him on the ice because he can't get the puck out of the zone.
You can give it to
you
me.
Better have me on.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. I will. Hey, we'd be remiss if I didn't hear from you regarding Jake Ottinger and what he was able to do, not just last night, but I think he's been terrific in these playoffs.
Oh, man, it's so good. And it's not like, you know, it's not just about, you know, Ottinger versus Hellebuck. I think it's safe to say that, like, Hellebuck, you know, really just has maybe kind of like Carey Lehtinen, you know, he has these just kind of clutch demons that he has to deal with. And maybe there's some truth to that. For like Ottinger, to me, like the big thing is just how good he is at not allowing rebounds, I think has been a big thing. And also, you know, it's worth remembering, you know, we don't talk about this enough when it comes to the development of players, you know, especially for goaltenders where their aging curves are very different than for skaters, which is that, you know, this is a guy that's getting better. And I think we've always kind of had questions about, you know, whether or not he's a true number one, whether or not he's that kind of Bezina type caliber goaltender. But no matter what that discussion is, like, it doesn't really matter, right? The point is Ottinger is getting better, and he's getting better at a critical time, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's really like all you can ask for him. And he's just, yeah, he's been so good all playoffs, and especially right. on the penalty kill.
Yeah. Happy birthday, 22 years old, to Wyatt Johnston today. How do you think he's played?
So, I'm so glad you asked about Johnston, because I feel like nobody's talking about him.
Yeah.
And I think nobody's talking about him because maybe they're afraid to. It's like, well, I haven't really like noticed him. I think the thing with Johnston is that he has been, at least up until this point, been given the tough task of having to shut down the top lines, right? He was in the home games against Colorado. It was Johnston versus the MacKinnon line. Against Winnipeg, the forward that Johnston has seen the most, or the forwards, I should say, that Johnston has seen the most is Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele. So his role as a 22-year-old is shutting down the opposition. Is the opposition scoring? No, not really. So I don't only credit Johnston for that, obviously. You know, there are a lot of other factors. And of course, I think goaltending is also like a big piece of the equation. But I think Johnston has really done well with a role that's very new to him, right? I mean, like, this is not, even though Johnston has played, you know, tough shifts and had to play versus elite competition, it's relatively new that he's been essentially kind of played a shutdown role. And so I don't really have anything negative to say about him in terms of what he's done in relation or in proportion to, you know, the quality of competition that he's having to face. And of course, for long stretches of this postseason, you know, he's been playing with Ben and, you know, at certain points, at least until Robertson came back in, to Donoff. And like, those are players that don't do anything for his game. Like, I'm not saying they're bad, right? Like, Jamie Benn, he has some strengths. Dodonov, he has some strengths, and we're kind of like Dodonov truthers here. But, you know, it really is Johnston kind of on an island when it comes to a lot of this stuff. And so I think if you saw Johnston, you know, have a much, you know, if you saw him against easier matchups, we would notice him a little bit more. And mm-hmm. I think the fact that we don't is actually a testament to how good he is given his role right now.
And Matt Duchene.
Why do we have to go like this pendulum swings, like from like super high to
well, it's fascinating because I have him as one of my highest priorities to sign in the offseason. And I'm a big Matt Duchene, love what he's been able to bring since he's been in Dallas. It just seems as though when the playoffs come, it's just not there like the regular season. And I'm not trying to be critical because, like I said, I think they, you know, he's one of their best players during the regular season.
Well, I think the thing with Duchene, and I think this is something that like hasn't really been, you know, studied to my knowledge, which is kind of like that shift, right, in player performance from regular season to postseason. You know, how do things change when there's just less space and, you know, there's no such thing as a lack of quality of competition? And so I think the thing with Duchene, and I think it's true of Sagan and Marchman as well, which is that these are not good defensive forwards. And that's not really like a criticism. I mean, they have a skill set that they tend to leverage more than their weaknesses, right? It's a strength they leverage more than their weakness. But they are not good defensive forwards. And I think what we're seeing is that we're seeing a line that, yes, they were good in the regular season, but you know, you can score a lot of points when your competition is, you know, like a freaking San Jose or a Buffalo. And you know, you kind of maybe like inflate some of your point totals that way. However, in the playoffs, you know, you can't be caught down low in the defensive zone like they have. You know, a lot of times you're just seeing them get trapped behind the play because, well, you know, they're overselling on that forecheck. And sure, it can pay dividends offensively, but, you know, hockey's a three-zone game. And so I think that's kind of what you're seeing. And I don't really see like a silver line in here. Like, I mean, I do think they're talented enough that they can score goals. I mean, they still have a positive expected goal share throughout this postseason, but for the most part, they're getting outpossessed. And so I don't know that there's really a whole lot of like positive to say there other than that, hopefully they get lucky. Hopefully they just get a few bounces their way at a critical juncture.
Any changes you'd like to see, and what do you expect from Winnipeg coming out of the gate?
I mean, so we saw some changes with Winnipeg's forward lines, mm-hmm. You know, kind of moving like Iafallo, you know, back to the top. And I don't really expect Winnipeg. I think you'll probably see Logan Stanley and Luke Shen on the bottom pair, even though I think Hayden Fleury and Colin Miller have been honestly better. But I mean, I think in an effort to be more physical and play that kind of rough and tumble game like they dealt with, you know, versus St. Louis, I think that's what you're going to see. And then you'll probably see kind of more of Winnipeg's bottom six forwards in the top six, because obviously what's working for Scheifele and Connor has like not helped. Bilardi has been a player that I think is excellent. And he's been kind of moderately productive, but hasn't really, you know, had, you know, very many moments beyond just like the odd points. And of course the power play goals. So I would definitely expect Winnipeg to try to muck the game up, play more physical, and sort of try to win the way they kind of won that St. Louis series.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree with your analysis. Final thing, am I overrating Josh Morrissey? I think he's absolutely terrific.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No, I mean, this is a player that, you know, top 10.
Okay, he is top 10 in the NHL, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I was going to say, like, you know, top 10, top 8 in some of the fancy stats, like net rating and game score and like wins above replacement.
Yeah, tell me again. Come on. Let me get that Castillo analytic action. I love it.
By the way, the top performing defenseman per Evolving Hockey's expected WAR model was Thomas Harley. He was actually above Makar, Hughes, and Werenski. Wow. I just want to plug that again because I've mentioned that stat before. But no, man, I think Morrissey's he's closer to Harley than Heiskanen. I think Dylan Sandberg is closer to Heiskanen than Harley. Yeah, I mean, he's such a fantastic defenseman, and it's kind of unfortunate that like they don't really have good. I mean, I think Neil Pionk has had some really fantastic moments, and I think Dylan DeMello is serviceable. But man, what those two guys would look like if they had proper top four defense partners, is probably the kind of thing that Winnipeg would sort of love to change.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. All right, so tell me what you have coming up as far as what you have on Star Stack, what you're doing with Robert Tiffin, doing podcast, e-magazine. Let's plug David Castillo because so many of our listeners like following you.
Do they?
Yeah, sure do, man. You got to take it in, man. Like you're good at what you do.
Well, I appreciate it. Not as good as what you do because you are awesome and you're always helping us and it never goes unappreciated. And so with that, D Magazine, Robert and I will be doing recaps, you know, after every game, of course. So that'll include tomorrow evening. And then for me, I'll be doing some film room analysis on how Dallas's penalty kill has beaten the league's top power play unit in Winnipeg. And then in addition to post-game recaps at the Star Stack as well.
Absolutely, Star Stack. And we can't wait to have you on again sooner rather than later. Thank you for making the time, Mr. Castillo. I just absolutely love that we can talk playoff hockey and the way the Stars are playing and so fascinating these series. And wanted to point one thing. I was on in Winnipeg yesterday, and one of the things I was pointing out was old school playoff format. Yeah, you would face Edmonton in the first round, and who knows what would have happened. However, I do find it fascinating that Winnipeg has had to go through a very tough, arguably the hottest team in the NHL in St. Louis, and then go through Dallas if they want to advance. Dallas has to go through Colorado and then the President's Trophy winner. And then you look at what they're about to play, be it Vegas or Edmonton. Those series just didn't seem as tough. Would you like to see, based on that scenario, if you were the commissioner, or just bring it back to top two division winners and then records fall as they may?
Yeah. I am a purist, you know, in that regard. You know, I want to see the best versus the best, and we should, you know, save the best for last.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so it's tough because, you know, Dallas hasn't had it easy, like especially last year.
Right.
But also I think it's also kind of, you know, it's what champions have to do no matter what, right? Yeah. You regardless of who it is, you know, you have to beat who's in front of you. And ideally it's something that Dallas can kind of, you know, manage regardless of how difficult, you know, the path is. So yeah, again, this series is by no means over, even if it kind of feels over, but how excited are we for a Dallas Edmonton rematch?
Oh no, it would be amazing if it happens, just one game at a time. I just know the Jets will not go down easy. And when their game is on, they are very, very tough to beat. Specifically, if Hellebuck's at home and he's on, they're very tough to beat. But we shall see. But much rather go up there 3-1 than 2-2, obviously. David, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And don't forget, if you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, feel free to leave us a rating and say, hey, David Castillo, that guy's awesome. Because we love those comments, because that fuels other comments and it helps with our search engine optimization. So when people are wondering, where can I get stars information, Spits and Suds will get to the top of the Google list. So thank you all for listening during this playoff run. We'll be back with another episode soon as we make our way to Dallas, Winnipeg, game number 5, Thursday night. Until then, have a great day, everyone.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.